Would you pray with me? Lord, we thirst for your revelation. And we ask, Father, that you would speak to us now through your word. That as we make a covenant with you and we walk in your will and your spirit empowers us, that we would walk in the revelation that you give us and there would be provision for each day. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I had this crazy thought the other day. It doesn't take much to imagine that I had some crazy thoughts. But I was just caught up in a time where I just was so aware of God's delight in us, his joy over us, his is crazy about you. Have you heard that from me yet? God is crazy about you. He loves you so much. And we sit here and go, well, you know, and we look at the struggles that we have. We all have struggles. We all have things. We scratch our head. I'm scratching my head with you over Bill Lynch. I mean, why Bill Lynch? But at the same time, I know, and David came and shared with me this morning. He came up and he said, remember that story of the father who grabbed the bee in the car and the boy was allergic and he opened it up and let the bee go? Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? The father let that bee go because the sting was in his hand. Jesus has taken away the sting of death. So, you know, to live is Christ, to die is gain. Thanks be to God, Bill Lynch is with the Father. We can't lament over that. We have to dance with him and go, yeah, buddy, save us a seat. And that's hard to do because you love a person and we get familiar with the funeral clothes that we've allowed to come in our lives. We are wishful thinkers, aren't we? We wish that we'll be, you know, 17 until we're 3,000. Right? We wish that our bodies would be able to do all the things that we used to be able to do when we were 17. Not you know, 17. Well, maybe not in the 17, okay. You know, but what we do with that wishful thinking is we're mixing flesh with spirit. And how does the Lord define that? How does the Lord define that? When we take and we twist things for our own good in wishful thinking, horoscopic faith, we become diviners. We manage our spirituality. We try to make things work in our direction. We're hopeful for just a taste of manna when the Lord wants to provide it every day. He wants to pour out his blessing from heaven. So this weird thought popped into my mind. And the idea is that we forget that God has so much more for us. We forget. Instead, we make accommodations with our faith so that we take on what is a spirit of witchcraft. Anybody decide they got up this morning and want to operate in witchcraft? Anybody? Anybody think that witchcraft is good? Of course you don't. And we've been programmed in the Christian church to hate those things, but we really don't understand that witchcraft is anything where we mix flesh and spirit. Where we're manipulating our spiritual life for wishful thinking rather than a sovereign God who's in control of everything. So when we're in that place where we're struggling and we're saying, Lord, why? Why Bill? Why me? Why this struggle right now? What are you showing me? We have to trust that in his sovereignty, he's doing something far beyond what we can expect. It is not passive faith. Don't hear me wrong. It doesn't mean you go, okay, whatever, Lord. Beat me up. I'll take it because you got to have a purpose to it. That's fatalism. And God doesn't want you to operate there. He wants you to operate in love and in power and in self-control. And that self-control calls you to obedience. So I'm thinking about this joy, and I'm also met with this story. So I'll get to the joy in a second, but I want to share with you a story out of Exodus 16. In Exodus 16, the people of God were whining. You've never whined, have you? I whine about all sorts of stuff. I have to confess that I'm a very selfish person. I like stuff. I like gadgets. I like, you know, I want the next thing. And I could whine about all sorts of stuff. You know, I was with my brother in faith this week because they've been robbed 3 times in the last week, including a guitar that I loaned Gary. And it's gone. But I'm not whining about it because it's just stuff. Yeah. What I want to say is there's something the enemy wants to rob them of. God is calling them to press on and press in. And, you know, there's worldly consequences to things, and that's mixed up in there. But the reality is I know my brother, and I know his girlfriend, and Chris is going to be in the same place where the two of them together are pressing in and saying, okay, Lord, we trust you to show us what's next. What are you doing? And the people of God were in Exodus were sitting there going, why did you take us out of a place where we had 3 squares and a cot, right? We had 3 meals a day, and we, you know, yeah, we worked like slaves, but what the heck? Here we are. And we're dying in the desert. We have no food. We want meat. We want bread. And the Lord provides them quail and manna. They even say what manna means, which is, what is it? Sometimes when I was a kid, I grumbled because I looked at what my mother made for me and I said, what is it? And it wasn't always good. Nonetheless, I was provided for. And the Lord was providing for his people. And he said, now be very careful to measure out only what is necessary for each person in your family. Because if you measure more, you'll have less the next day. And if you measure less, they'll be given an abundance. But the Lord will provide just trust. So what did they do? They didn't listen to his word. They didn't honor his covenant with them that he would provide for them, even with their whining. And they collected it in bigger piles than they needed. And it turned to maggots. Have you traded manna for maggots in your life? Have you taken the blessings that God has given you and sort of hoarded it and said, you know, I better hang on to this? That's what I was talking about earlier when I said spiritually sometimes we take on funeral clothes rather than the life that he's given us. To live is Christ, to die is gain. When that spirit of witchcraft comes over a community of faith, it's like a funeral pall. It gets laid over the top, and we allow those layers to come over us one layer at a time where we agree with them. We say, yeah, we're all going to die someday. Yeah, I got a cold. But colds happen, okay? I had one. I had the flu recently. It's not pretty. But I will say, you don't have to embrace it. You don't have to allow your body to get down into a deeper hole than it needs to be. You can say, Lord, I'm praying for your healing. I'm expecting it to happen. There's something that happens deep inside of you that's different. It's not wishful thinking. It's, Lord, I know you're going to strengthen me, so I'm going to let you help me fight. But it's a totally different mindset from, ooh, somebody get me some aspirin. We embrace those things and we let another layer fall over us. And we say, well, we're not a community that's viable anymore. We're not going to do what we once did. That's old manna. And when we store it up, we allow maggots to get into it and we mix maggots with our manna. And we're eating it every day. Oh, I wish. I'm going to give you an example for right here. And I know that it's one that is a challenge. But, you know, oh, St. Luke's is never going to be what it used to be. How do those maggots taste? We're never going to be what we used to be. Never, ever, ever. You can't rewind the tape. We can't bring Chuck back, okay? We can't bring Roger back to be a rector. Dan Morgan's the rector right now. And for whatever crazy purpose he's called me to this time and this place. And God is doing something new in you. He's moving with a new provision, a new outpouring. So when Jesus was baptized, and we heard the story today, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased, because he's bringing all things into being that was prophesied about in the Old Testament so that we can live in the fullness of his Spirit. And to live in the fullness of his Spirit is to enter into everything through his blood. Last week you heard the story of the Passover. I had a professor in seminary who one day came in with a bucket and some cedar branches. And he dipped the cedar branches in the bucket, and he had a canvas much bigger because it was just a big sheet that he had hanging down from the door. And he read the passage from Exodus where you were to mark the door with the blood of the lamb on the lintel and on the doorposts, on the lintel and on the doorposts, on the lintel and on the doorpost. And as he did that three times, and this liquid was dripping down on the sheet that he had there as a canvas, the cross was coming into clear view. Churches have red doors because it's supposed to be symbolic of what we do. Catholic churches often have in the front of the church, about this far up in the church, you'll see a crucifix. And people get hung up on, statuary and all that kind of stuff. But the reason that that was there was because every time you came forward to receive from the table, you had to walk under the Lord's blood. And we enter through his blood. And we receive the fullness of his revelation. He wants to show us new stuff every day. Not the old stuff. Don't mix maggots with manna. He wants you to see what he has for you today. So today in the gospel, we hear from Matthew chapter 3. Let me get there. Sorry for the delay. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Before we got to the revelation of Jesus and the anointing that he was to have for ministry, we heard John preparing the way. And what was the preparation? Repentance. What does repentance mean? Turn around. You're going the wrong way. Turn around. When we mix maggots for manna with manna, we settle for layer upon layer upon layer upon layer of death in our lives. We don't even see it anymore because we're making an agreement that we want things to be the way they used to be. I want things to be where it's gonna be. I want to be where Bill is. That's my goal. I don't want to go there too fast. I enjoy some of the things here right now. I like worship, but you know what? Worship in heaven is going to be so much better. And if we would just take that and have that mindset that God is just crazy about us, we would take joy into what he's doing in our lives. He's taking us to different levels. So here's the crazy thought that I had the other day. Elf, the movie. Remember, he's going to visit his dad in the Empire State Building. And in the movie, he gets into an elevator. He didn't know what an elevator does because he lived on the North Pole, right? And he gets into the elevator, and the guy hits one button to go to his floor. And he goes, oh, because he sees the light up. And he has this childlike joy. Will Ferrell's a goofball, and I love him for that. I wish he knew the Lord, because that joy would be transferred into kingdom craziness. But I'm going to transfer it into kingdom craziness today. And so he walks over, and he hits a button himself, and he goes, and he looks back at the guy in the elevator. He goes, oh! And then he hits another, and another, and another, and then finally he takes both hands, and he goes, wah! And the guy sitting next to him is just shaking his head, because he gets to stop at every floor to get to the 34th floor or whatever he was going to. But what it reminded me is that God is in his anointing of his purposes. Jesus is beginning his ministry, and as he is baptized, He is risen into a place where the fullness of what God had intended for him to do was about to embark. And every day, we have to remember that God has prepared you with absolute joy to take you to another floor, to take you to another level. He wants you to press in. There's something new to be revealed to you today. God is not done with you. Would you accept that? Would you receive that? Don't forget the first word. The first word in the gospel lesson today is repent. Turn around. Let's corporately today repent of the things, the manna and the maggots that we've held on to. The sin of comparison, if you will. I wish I was like that person. You know, there's some people here in this congregation I really admire. There are things about you that I wish I had in my life. But you know what? God's given those gifts to me because you're in my life. We need the body. We need each other. And together, man, Jesus said we'd do greater things than he did. Well, wait a second, I haven't raised the dead yet. No, but the body has. And we have testimony of the dead being raised. We haven't given sight to the blind, but no, the body has, because the Holy Spirit has been present in people's lives to bring about healing. We have an experience. You may remember my own child saying to me once, you know, Dad, you see all these things, you believe all these things, but I've never seen a miracle. Well, I said, if you're looking, buddy, you'll see a lot of them in your life. Just keep your eyes open, because there's miracles happening around us every day if we would press in. For this he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah then said, a voice of the one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Now John wore crazy camel hair and ate locusts and all those things, and the passage goes on, and along came Jesus. Jesus came to Galilee, to the Jordan, to John, to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. Of course, we'd say the same thing, wouldn't we? But he did. And do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, let it be so now. And thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he consented, and Jesus was baptized. Immediately he went up from the water. Behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending on him like a dove, coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son. We've seen heaven open. If we look to Jesus, we've seen heaven open. We understand who he is and what he's done, even in a smidge. You know, some of you might sit here and go, well, I don't really have the greatest faith in the world. Or you might have faith that moves mountains. Wherever you are, you have the ability to bear witness to who Jesus is. Even if it's just information, you have the ability to share with others who he is, and that it brings you peace. I remember having late night conversations with students say, I don't get it. I grew up in the church. I hear lots of stories, but when I hear them, I feel better. I love that. And I'd say, you're on to something. Don't let that go. Ask God to reveal himself in the stories. Ask God to bring about something in your life that would show that not only is he real, but he wants to reside in you and give you strength to change the things that you cannot change. Because one day, he'll change you completely. One day, you'll be in the full stature of Christ. What are you afraid of? I'm afraid of not having enough. I'm afraid that people might not like me. I'm afraid that I might not have the right gifts. I might not be in the right place at the right time. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of self-control. And to operate in that self-control, we've got to give ourselves over to him, not over to the maggots. You want to live in a life that is unshakable, unoffendable, and unstoppable? I do. Then we've got to live a life that is always looking to his joy and his love for his children. We got to live there. Stop seeing yourself in the comparison that says that God really just wants to squash you one day. He's not happy with you. He's not pleased when we're disobedient, and there are consequences. But the reality is those consequences are there because the loving Father wants us to turn around. He wants us to repent. He wants us to take the revelation that he's given us, the tools that he's given us, and open our eyes and take joy in the fact that there's an elevator full of buttons. There's all these floors to go to. There's all these levels for us to enjoy. And he takes delight in watching us discover them. That's where the Lord wants to be with you today. We enter into this time of Epiphany, and we're realizing what the incarnation is for more and more. We just have to start to take a simpler path, not getting it so complicated in all the comparisons to the past or comparisons to other people or comparisons to other ministries or whatever you compare yourself with. It's just maggots. Let's not only repent of mixing maggots with manna, but let's recognize that the Lord wants to provide for you everything that you need for today. And let yesterday be yesterday, and tomorrow worry about itself, because he'll meet you tomorrow with the same provision. God's provided St. Luke's with an abundance this year. It's not for us to store up and let maggots get there. It's for us to steward. And God's given us the great ability to have a more beautiful space with better lighting and more room to have fellowship. And he's going to do more. We just have to be obedient to it and just continue to walk in it, but so that it's not just a place for us to warm our feet and our hearts, but so that it's a proclamation to the world that Jesus has come in his fullness, and God is so pleased with him because he's made a way for us to have the fullness of what he intended, to have the joy, to have the life, to have the power in this life until we're with him eternally. Amen?
Amen.
Father, we surrender today. First, we repent of any ways in which we fall into the pit of comparison, into the remembrance page in our lives where we think the only way that we're going to be something is to be something we once were. And we know that that's just witchcraft, the enemy trying to twist us. So as we let go of that, Lord, would you bring fresh revelation in our lives? New testimony to be able to tell others of your presence and power? And would you help us to walk in the fullness of that presence so that not only would we be bearing witness to one another of your power and your great love, but we would take joy in entering into new levels of gifting, new levels of living, new areas of surrender in our lives, all for the sake of your kingdom. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.